One of the other headlines this morning that would have been, I would imagine, dominating the front pages in terms of pictures if it hadn't been for what the shocking events in America in the last 24 hours relates to this.
What's another year to someone who's lost everything that he owns? What's another year to someone who's getting used to being alone?
A great performance from Emmy. So difficult to be a country at this stage. So difficult. And we've had this happen. This is not news to us. However, we have to... One more place. Will
you
it be Ireland?
We made this decision, and we will announce it now. The last country to compete in the grand final on Saturday is...
Ireland. Just say Ireland. It's simple. Ireland.
Greece!
Is the last country out of the batch, which means that poor Emmy hasn't made it through to the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest. And look, you can talk till you're blue in the face about taste. You can talk about other people's
and
performances. You can talk
tonight's
about songs that meant nothing to you.
Who will
we would have said Australia and Ireland.
Yeah, there you go. That's was Marty Whelan, the Eurovision this year, delivering the bad news live on television that Emmy hadn't made it through for Ireland to the grand final. The Austrian entrant won the Eurovision, and the Eurovision is due to take place in Vienna in 2026. But will Ireland be part of it? Well, that is an open question now, because RTÉ announced yesterday it will not take part in the 2026 Eurovision Song Contest if the participation of Israel goes ahead. In a statement, the broadcaster said it's RTÉ's position Ireland will not take part in the contest if the participation of Israel goes ahead, and the final decision regarding Ireland's participation will be made once the EBU's decision is made. Director General of RTÉ Kevin Backer said RTÉ feels Ireland's participation will be unconscionable given the ongoing and appalling loss of lives in Gaza. RTÉ is deeply concerned by the targeted killing of journalists in Gaza, the denial of access to international journalists to the territory, and the plight of the remaining hostages. So there is the decision. Ireland will not take part. With me on the line to talk about this, and be very curious to hear your views on this as to whether this is a good idea, whether bringing politics into it is the way to go or not, or whether this just simply had to be done, to your view, to send a message that the country is not happy, or certainly RTÉ is not happy with what's going on in the Gaza Strip at the moment. Seamus O'Neill is of the I'm Sorry 0 Points Eurovision podcast. We spoke to him around the time of the Eurovision this year. Seamus, good morning to you.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Very good, very good. Listen, what's your own view on this? Was this always likely to happen, given what has happened in the last couple of months in Gaza, with the ratcheting up of the war, the death and the famine and everything else like that?
Yeah, I think yesterday's news from RTÉ probably came as a bit of a shock, I would say, in general, to the Irish fans. It's not something they weren't expecting, but I just think it's a bit of a shock that it's come so soon, I suppose, because the national broadcasters of Eurovision do have until December to make their decision whether they want to participate or not in Eurovision next year. So it's just a very early statement, I suppose. But the general consensus, I guess, from the Irish Eurovision fans is that this is a good thing. They are happy with the statement and the, I suppose, signal that it sends to the EBU. You know, the past 2 years at Eurovision have been very difficult as a Eurovision fan. And it's definitely brought the contest into disrepute. You know, I've been there at the contest the past 2 years, and there's been a marked difference in the atmosphere there compared to other years when I've been there. So yeah, I think it's generally welcomed.
Did this all happen, James? Like, and I remember when Bambi Thug was competing, there was an issue, there was backstage trouble over Israel at that stage. It was starting to seep through into how the competition was organised. And that was a factor even before this year, 2024 I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would say 2024, it was even more tense rather than this May. But yeah, I remember when Bambi was performing and during rehearsals, there was kind of like just uncomfortable situations backstage where Israeli media were filming other contestants without their consent and things like that. And there was just a lot of tension around the whole contest and a lot of tension backstage as well. And it was just all, it just was very, I suppose, uncomfortable as a viewer and a fan, because that's not what you want from the contest. You know, the whole idea of Eurovision is to kind of be a peaceful, unifying experience. You know, the contest came out of after the World Wars as a way to unify kind of Europe. And we feel like the contest is kind of falling apart in front of us, I suppose. That's what the Eurovision fans feel. So I think the fans do feel like these kind of statements need to be made by the national broadcasters and a stand needs to be taken. So I think a lot of the Irish fans are kind of proud of RT's statement and that they're kind of leading this charge, along with other broadcasters, I must add. Spain has also said something similar. The Icelandic broadcaster and the Slovenian broadcaster are also waiting to see what the EBU do about Israel's participation next year before they make their decision.
Yeah, if you look at it from the point of view of, let's say, conflicts and who is being apportioned the most blame for conflicts, you go back to Russia in 2022 and the decision of the EBU announcing no Russian act will participate in that year is they haven't participated since. So that puts, I suppose, Israel in the same box, doesn't it? That they're just doing what they're doing to Russia, because I think Israel have crossed the line in the last 12 months or the last couple of months, really, as to what they've done in Gaza.
Yeah, there's always that comparison made, I guess, all right, which, you know, some would say that's a fair comparison. Others might say it's not a fair comparison. But I think with regards to Russia and Ukraine, I think the EBU moved much swifter in their decision making around that. Whereas I think this time around, the EBU have been very slow to make a decision. And we must remember, you know, Hamas is a terror organization and the events of October 7th were horrific on the Israeli people and the Israeli nation. But I suppose the escalation of it is just something that people aren't happy with. And Israel's kind of continuation of the war and escalation of the war. And only this week we saw it escalate into Qatar and the bombing of Qatar, who are trying to mediate in this situation. So it's really kind of grown and evolved. And also, I think the Eurovision fans are also not happy with how Israel are using Eurovision as a kind of propaganda tool. So Israel, their national broadcaster, can have a kind of a national competition to select their Eurovision representative. And that show has been heavily used for propaganda for the war as well. So again, that's something that the Eurovision fans are not happy with and things should not be happening.
Okay, and that feeds into, I suppose, the opinions as well on it. What do you say then, Seamus, though, to the other side of it? And people who may argue that this is a bad decision, that politics shouldn't be part of a song contest, that international politics should be separate. This is culture, it's music, and you shouldn't step in and say that this is what we're going to do to send them. That the competition shouldn't be used to make a political point.
Yeah, and the EBU are always kind of quick to say that, you know, Eurovision is not about politics. But that kind of excuse, I think, doesn't hold much weight anymore. It's very hard to say that and stand by that. You know, geopolitics, it's all around Eurovision. There's always a slight political take on Eurovision. And even from the simple fact of neighbourly voting and things like that, you know, that's always been there, I guess. So I think you can't ignore these situations. You can't ignore what's going on in the world. And I think broadcasters should have the right to say that this is not okay, we're not happy with this, you know, it's bringing the contest into disrepute and something needs to be done about it. And I think the Eurovision fans have just been quite angry over the past 2 years about how the EBU are kind of just sitting on their hands and they're not really, they haven't really been doing anything about this. So there's a lot of frustration amongst the Eurovision fans.
Okay, what about the other element of it on the vote from last year? Is RTE, are the EBU, you know, out of step? Any countries who are deciding to exclude us or they want things excluded? Their entry came second. And that was a mix of judge panel votes and public votes for New Day Will Rise. Came second to the winner, Wasted Love from JJ from Austria. Does that say that the public they're fine with Israel being in, even with all of the conflict and the death and destruction that had happened up to that point?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, actually. Israel did come second in the contest this year. It is, again, something that Irish fans want to be looked into. And I know some of the broadcasters have called for kind of an examination of the results and where those results came from. Because if you look at the jury votes versus the public votes, there's a big discrepancy there. So the Israeli song this year didn't do well with the jury votes, but it did incredibly well with the public votes. And there is suspicion there about where those votes came from and how those votes were kind of counted and calculated. And again, several broadcasters after the contest called on the EBU for transparency around those votes and where they came from. And what we got was a very wishy-washy statement from the EBU with no real transparency.
So no real transparency to escape the assumption, and we're saying it's just an assumption, that somehow the vote may have been manipulated in some sort of a way for propaganda purposes, is what you want to get an answer to.
Yeah, I think the fans think that is probably what happened, but we would like that investigated and we would like some transparency there. But that has not really been forthcoming from the EBU.
Okay, and will we get answers to that? We don't know. Seamus, when will they make a decision, do you think? When is it December, or will RTE's decision, along with Spain and other countries, will that put pressure on them to make a decision sooner rather than later on Israel? Because as things stand at the moment, we won't have a Eurovision. RTE won't be broadcasting Eurovision this year.
Yeah, they've said that, all right. I think this certainly puts pressure on the EBU. I think this probably needs to happen if Israel are to be kicked out of the contest, then this needs to be happened, because the EBU will not make any decisions unless the national broadcasters vocalise their stance. So this needs to happen. So I think Ireland, along with Spain, Slovenia and Iceland, and I think there will probably be more countries and more national broadcasters will join this call. However, there are other countries, of course, who are happy for Israel to be in. And we've seen the German broadcaster and the Italian broadcaster say that they would pull out if Israel are kicked out. So we kind of need to monitor this over the next few weeks and months.
Is there a real danger then, Seamus, the whole thing could fall apart if it splits along these lines? And this is the danger of bringing politics into it. Countries disagree. I mean, you're talking about trying to get 27 countries of the European Union to agree to go in one direction. The UN, likewise. We're on top of different countries with different attitudes and opinions and different pressures. Could the whole thing fall apart over this?
Absolutely, it could fall apart. We could be looking at a contest next May with half the participants there, which would be really sad to see, you know, because the contest has grown. Next year is the 70th year. It's the 70th anniversary. That should be a celebration. But right now, it's not a celebration. It's just a bit of a mess. So something needs to happen. So the next few weeks and months, I think, will be interesting to see what the other broadcasters say. I think it's in November, the EBU are going to make their decision about Israel participating. And then the other broadcasters have until December to then make up their mind whether they'll participate or not. So it's a bit of a waiting game. But I think there will be other broadcasters who will probably follow Ireland.
Is there any suggestion, finally, look, will this be up to the big three, Germany, UK and France? Or is it,
that, do we know? They will have a huge say, So it's the big five. So there's France, Germany, Italy, Spain and the UK.
The big, the big television markets essentially for it, and they pay the most money.
Exactly. Yeah. So they will have the biggest sway, I think. So we'll have to wait and see what their national broadcasters say. But yes, they would have a big sway in it, all right.
Okay, Seamus, what are you going to talk about? Are you going to have to turn your podcast into a political show for the next 12 months? Or has that already happened?
Well, we try and avoid the politics where possible. You know, and every there's lots of Eurovision, you know, content creators and podcasters, and everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And, you know, some kind of avoid talking about Israel and avoid talking about the Israeli song. Others are happy to talk about it. So, look, everyone's kind of doing their own thing and what's right to them. We hope our podcast will continue, but yeah, we will probably keep the political side of things to the very minimum, because again, I suppose we want to focus on the music and the artists
which
who
is
are
what
performing.
It's meant to be all about. Yeah, of course.
It's meant to be about, Seamus, but
we'll have to get you on another day, depending on what happens here, but maybe talk to you in more detail about if we are going to have an entry, how we go about picking it, because the process itself in Ireland has been questioned in the last service. But that's for another day. The politics dominates today. Seamus, thanks so much for giving your short time this morning.
No problem. Thanks very much, Jerry.
Okay, brilliant stuff. There you go. That is Seamus O'Neill there for the I'm Sorry 0 Points Eurovision podcast. And we'll see where it goes from that point of view. If you have a view for us on it, get in touch with us on the show on 066-7123-666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083-300-300. We want to hear from you on the show. Now, staying with Eurovision and staying with the, I suppose, the controversy and the decision made by RTE, with me on the line, I've got a Eurovision winner. That's Dana Rosemary Scanlon. Dana, good morning to you, and thanks for taking some time to talk to me and Kerry today this morning.
How are you, Jerry? Good to talk to you.
Very good. Listen, what's your view on all of this? The fact that, as we talked to Seamus there, the way things are going, there may well not be a Eurovision next year, as things stand.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's an understandable line in the sand that RTE have drawn, because anyone with a heart is devastated at what's happening in Gaza. And, you know, I'm sure like many others, I can hardly even bear to look at it. It's so hard. And we understand that this round of violence began with an act of, well, terror and devastation and the loss of innocent lives. And it's always the people on the ground, the ordinary people who suffer the most. We know that. So I can understand, and I think it reflects a lot of our feelings. And at the same time, there's only two platforms that I know, safe spaces will say, sports and music, where it allows people to come together. And Eurovision was set up for that reason. It wasn't set up to go out and sing your song. It was set up after the war, after terrible devastation and terrible atrocities, to bring ordinary people together, to give them a chance to get to know each other and to heal, to mend. I had a personal experience of that, Jerry, if I have time to share it with you. Not long after Eurovision, I was invited to go to Germany, to Berlin, to sing. And my mother travelled with me. And I could tell she was very agitated. She was very nervous on the journey. And we talked, and she said, "I'm very nervous about going to Germany," because her memories were of the war. And she was afraid going to Germany. So we arrived there. I did the programme. I remember walking out of the building that night. It was dark, and a group of four German women about her age, obviously working class women, those little flowery pinafores that they used to wear over their dresses, they couldn't speak English, and of course we couldn't speak German. All they did was open their arms and just enfold us, hugged us. They cried, we cried, and it was a real lesson to me how music, how Eurovision had brought together. My mother found that a really healing experience, and so did I. So it was set up for that reason. And I think we have to try to hold on to anything that gives ordinary people, not politicians, not political leaders, world leaders, ordinary people a chance, a safe space to come together.
Yeah. And are you worried that in as much as you've said, the terrible things that are going on and all the efforts that are being done by ordinary people to protest against Israel's actions in Gaza, that the politicization of this, even though, as we've said, Russia have been excluded since 2022, but that this will cause the division that will, you know, you lose that music and you lose the celebration that the Eurovision is as a result of it?
Well, yes, I think it's, as I say, sports is one, music is another. I don't know of another big platform like this. I don't know of another. And, you know, yes, I remember just the year before Russia was expelled, there was a Russian singer came on to sing, and the presenter that year was, the name escapes me now, but it was Phoenix, the Rising from the Ashes was the song or something. I can't think of the name, I'm so sorry. And they booed the Russian singer. And the presenter said, no, don't boo. She's just a singer. And there's people, you know, in Israel who are protesting what is happening in Gaza. All they want is their son or daughter, or husband, wife, whoever. They just want them home. They just want peace.
Yeah. And yeah. That was Conchita Wurst, Rise Like a Phoenix in 2014. Yeah, and this was after the initial, the annexation of Crimea by Russia, and the audience booed, they said, no, they're just a singer, they're just a performer. They're not here as a political representative.
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm sorry, I couldn't get the name there.
No. It's a good point to make, though, to make that point, that that's when we saw it, I suppose, creeping in, and now we're in a situation whereby the Eurovision, which brings joy to you know, millions of people across Europe, it's a great platform for performers. It can launch careers that it did with your own career, that may be lost if there is this division and this divide. And if countries like Germany say, no, we will not perform if Israel isn't allowed in, and countries like Ireland saying, we won't perform if they are. It'll be like a meeting of the UN descending into acrimony.
Well, you've put it in words, yes. It doesn't take away our horror at what's happening. And as I say, people on the ground in Israel, they're protesting. I have very dear friends. They're Palestinian Christians. They're living in Gaza, and they are suffering terribly. And indeed, they were suffering terribly before this recent horrendous violence. They were also suffering. So yeah. I'm in touch with them regularly. Like, your heart goes out, my God. But you've put it right. Are we going to turn one of the rare platforms for ordinary people, not politicians, to come together? Are we going to turn it into a UN fighting match, you know?
Yeah, that is a worry. Dana, just final point for you. You also, a part of your career, linked very closely with this county. Well, in 1987, Kerry was one of the four councillors that gave you support to become a presidential candidate. We're going through the process again. And we're having a vote on Monday morning. There are independent candidates out there who are trying to get on the ballot. What's your view? Would you like to see independent candidates get on the ballot paper ahead of the presidential election in October?
Well, as you know, I was the first independent ever nominated through the councils. And we were only just talking about Kerry putting me through, giving me the chance as an independent to run. I have great respect for councillors because they are on the coalface. Decisions are made above their heads, are made in Dublin, and they have to enact them. And it can be very, very tough for councillors. And one of the few powers they have left is to nominate. And when councils are closed down by political leaders, when councillors are denied the right to use that, one of the few powers they've left, you're actually damaging democracy. And one of the reasons, the only reason really initially I ran, was because the park, the presidency, belongs to the people. It's in our constitution. And that's why in the constitution they didn't leave the decision up to elected members of the Dáil. They opened it to allow councils to have that power to override what happened in the Dáil. And for any political leader to close that down, we all understand party whips. We all understand that. But this is a precious democratic right that denies the people a choice. Completely denies the people a choice. And I think it's terrible. And my heart goes out to councillors. I mean, when I got nominated in 2004, we had the presidential election. And members of a particular party who are also being closed down now had to go on television and apologise for nominating me and withdraw their vote. That is very wrong. It's not democratic. And it undermines our constitutional right of the people to elect their president.
Okay, Dana, thanks for giving us your view on that, on Eurovision and the presidency. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning.
It's good to talk to you, Jerry. God bless.
Okay, God bless. That's Dana Rosemary Scallon there giving her view as a former Eurovision winner. And what do you make of that point that she's making about, in as much as she is horrified at what's happening in Gaza, the question about using a music competition to make a political point and then descending into what it's heading for now, as you heard Seamus say, which I wasn't aware of, Germany and Italy will most likely say, we will not take part in the competition if Israel aren't allowed in, whereas Ireland, Spain and others would say the opposite. What now for Eurovision? We'll have more after we take these.